Well, good morning, church. It's good to be a part of the body of Christ that we share in the sacrifice that He made for our salvation. I'm going to be preaching the next few weeks about Jesus's march to the cross. And so I'm going to begin in John 11 this morning. John 11. John 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and poured His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Him, saying, "Lord, he whom You love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, He said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was ill, He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after that, He said to His disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to Him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone You, and are You going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to Him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of His death, but they thought that He meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet Him. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet Him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But now, even now, I know that whatever You ask from God, God will give You." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it's better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Father, would you bless the reading and the proclamation of your word? Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you open the ears of every one of us to hear what you would say to us today? Draw us near to yourself. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Death always comes to us basically as an unwelcomed intruder. Even when we know it's near, it's still our enemy, and it's still unwelcomed. When my dad died 11 years ago, even after he had struggled for many months and I knew that it was a possibility, I can't tell you how intense the pain was. Friday, I received a message that a good friend of mine's grandson, 7-year-old grandson, had suddenly died. And I can't imagine the pain that his mom and dad and his grandparents are going through right now. My dad's death, of course, was expected. The other was completely not expected. But both came as unwelcome intruders and invaders in our lives. Scripture reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable have been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was confronted with death, with the illness and death of His good friend Lazarus. And as he confronted this enemy, our enemy, death, he revealed to us an eternal truth about himself. Jesus, as the resurrection and the dead, ultimately conquers man's great enemy, death. Jesus, as the resurrection and the life, I don't think I said that right the first time, did I? Wow. Jesus, as the resurrection and the life, ultimately conquers man's great enemy, death. Look at this event in the life of Jesus. First of all, we see the report. There was a certain man named Lazarus from Bethany who was ill. And this man and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were very close friends of Jesus. And they sent a messenger, evidently, to Jesus and said, the one you love is sick. Well, the language is very interesting. It uses a term which means your good friend, your close friend, Lazarus. You know, he didn't name him here, but he said your close friend, maybe even his best earthly friend, was sick. Jesus was very close to Lazarus and to Mary and Martha. They were good, close friends. Now, when Jesus heard this report, He said the illness is not going to lead to death. It's not going to ultimately lead to death, but it was for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. You see, what was happening, this illness of his friend, and what would happen as a result would bring glory to God and would magnify the name of Jesus. Through this severe illness, the Son of God would be glorified through it. So we hear the report, then we see Jesus' response. In spite of the fact that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were very close friends of Jesus, Jesus stayed where he was for two more days. In fact, verse 5 tells us, it says, Jesus loved, and it uses a different word. It uses a word which means the purposeful love of God. The word that means the all-knowing, purposeful love of God. It says Jesus purposely, because of his all-knowing nature as God, because he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, when he heard, he stayed 2 days longer. That doesn't make sense, does it? You hear your friend's sick, he needs you, they've sent for you, and you decide to stay 2 days longer. You see, this delay seems like such a contradiction. It doesn't make sense to our human minds. Richard Lenski wrote, human love would have hurried. Divine love acts otherwise and has also a divine purpose for its work. See, we look at this event and we think Jesus is late. He's too slow. He's not moving fast enough. His timing is off. Lazarus is ill and he needs Jesus, but Jesus waits. But the scripture says because he purposely and willfully loved them, he delayed. The ultimate good that would come about in their lives would not have come if Jesus would have went immediately. It was only when he waited and delayed that he brought his ultimate good for Mary and Martha and Lazarus and everyone else. You see, the Lord's timing often seems like such a delay. Lord, I need you now. And the Lord seems to be passive. And the Lord says, it's not time yet. It's for your good ultimately. It's for my glory ultimately. You've got to trust me in this. You've got to wait. So the first response is delay. He delayed 2 days. And then the response is determined. After 2 days, he tells his disciples, let's go to Judea. Now they were shocked because the last time they were in Judea, people were getting rocks and throwing them at Jesus. They were trying to kill him. They were trying to stone him. And when they heard this, this was a dangerous idea. They thought, man, you know, they didn't say it, but I'm sure they thought, Jesus, you're crazy. What are you doing going back to Judea? Well, Jesus had an answer for them. First of all, he said, it's a basic principle. He says, aren't there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of life. Anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now, what's he talking about? Jesus is basically given the principle that when you do what God wants you to do, when you want him to do it, he's with you. You don't have to worry about what others are going to do. You don't have to worry about whether they're going to stone you or whatever. You see, when God calls you to do something, no one can thwart God's working his purposes and his plans through you. Now, it doesn't mean there's not danger. And it doesn't even mean you might not be martyred in doing the thing they called you to do. But I want to tell you, you're not going to be martyred until God is done with you doing what he's called you to do. It does mean God protects and guides until God's task through you has been completed. Then Jesus tells them, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but he must go and wake him. Now, when you read the Gospels, it's very interesting. Nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. Nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. He came across people that were dead a couple times. The widow of Nain's son and some others. He raised him from the dead, but nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. So Jesus tells them Lazarus had fallen asleep. And so they thought he's talking about physical sleep. They said, well, if Lazarus has fallen asleep, he's going to get better. Sleep is good for you. You know, they didn't have a lot of cures, not a lot of antibiotics, didn't have any IV drips. And so they said, the best thing that can happen to him, he's sleeping. And Jesus then said, Lazarus is dead. He tells them plainly that Lazarus is dead. And then he says, I'm glad I was not there, because what's going to happen is going to cause you to believe. Now, weren't they believers? Well, everyone but Judas was a believer. But he was talking about it. Their faith was going to be strengthened. They were going to see him in a different light, in a light that was going to help them to believe more deeply and more fully. And so, and then Jesus said, let's go. And there was still reluctance. And finally, Thomas, cynically kind of speaking for the group, said, well, why don't we go and we'll die with him? Thomas often gives a bad reputation, but he knew it was bad news in Judea for Jesus. But he had the courage and the willingness to say, okay, let's go. That's what Jesus wants. We're going to go. So we see the report, and we see the response, and now we see some regret here. Now, Jesus and the apostles set out to Bethany. By the time they got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and her first words to Jesus were, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That were her first words. You can hear the regret, the sorrow. And then just a little while, she goes to Mary after talking to Jesus. She tells Mary the teacher's here and he wants to see her. And Mary ran out to Jesus, and what did she say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then the scripture tells us that there were mourners in the home, and when Mary got up to go to Jesus, they thought she was going to the tomb. You know, they said that there were these mourners who would wail, loud wails. Sometimes they would even pay people to mourn in this kind of culture. And so they saw Mary get up. They thought she was going to the tomb. She went out, and when she saw Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The people that followed her, they looked at Jesus when Jesus wept, and he says, see how he loved them. Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? You see, all the regret. Everyone thought Jesus was late. Jesus, if you'd only been here, why didn't you show up? Now, maybe you've never felt like this, but I think there are times in my life that I felt like this. Lord, you're late. We needed you and you weren't here. Well, look how Jesus responded. When he saw the weeping and the wailing of the crowds, it says he was deeply moved. Now the English just doesn't do this word justice. In other places, it's translated agitated, angry even. You see, when Jesus saw the results of death and what it did to the people that he loved, and its hurt and its pain, he was disturbed. He was angry even. In verse 38, it says the same thing. When he went to the tomb, he was deeply moved. He was agitated once again. See, death is the last enemy to be destroyed, and death is the enemy. Death, and the author of life is going to defeat the enemy completely. And so Jesus was agitated and angry at the results of death and what it does. In verse 35, it says Jesus wept. Now that's also interesting. It's not the same word that means wail. It means the emotion. Jesus just began to spontaneously weep. Tears began to trickle down his face because of the sorrow of those around him and because he felt for them and he loved them. You know, a lot of times that we as Christians, we find someone in a terrible situation and we really say stupid things, you know? You know, one of the things that I prayed ever since I've been in the ministry, Lord, don't let me say stupid things to people who are in crisis and tragedy. People have said really stupid things. Oh, you know, he's in a better place. Okay, yeah, we understand that a little bit if they're believers. But that doesn't make the pain any less intense. We say, well, I've had people say to women who have lost children in miscarriage, oh, you can have another one. Oh, man. What? You know, where did you learn such stupid things to say? Death hurts. You know, I was a pastor 20 years, a long time before my dad died. And I'd been around people and I thought I was empathetic. And I always kind of emphasized the glory. But man, when my dad died, I mean, I was in pain. I did not realize how bad it felt for someone that you intensely loved to die. You know, the Bible doesn't say grief is wrong. It only says we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve, but we have hope even in our grief. We see the report and we see the response of Jesus, and then we see some of the regrets of Mary and Martha and the crowd. But we also see in this the renewal of hope. Martha, even as she confessed, Lord, if you'd not been here, my brother would have died. She also said this, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now think about the context of this. Her brother was dead. And there was a little bit of regret that Jesus wasn't there because she knew Jesus could do something about it. But still, there's a confession of hope and faith in Jesus. I know even now the Lord will give you what you ask. I don't even know what she thought might happen. But she confessed in it wasn't a perfect faith. In the darkest moment of her life, she displayed a faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, your brother's going to rise again. And she says, I know that my brother will rise again at the last day. You know, maybe she thought Jesus was kind of giving her a platitude. Well, your brother's going to rise again. Yeah. But Jesus doesn't give platitudes, does he? He was helping her to understand he was going to do something. You see, Mary had a last day faith, and she had a pretty strong faith to confess hope even in the midst of a tragedy. But there's something, there was a little bit missing, because see, Jesus was present, and whenever Jesus is present, something can happen. You can have a last day faith, and you have a last day that you're going to be raised up, go to be with Jesus when you die. But you have faith in the present time that because the Lord is with you, He can do things in the middle of your circumstances. Now, I'm not saying you can command Him to do things. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. You can't tell God what to do. But I'm telling you, there's no situation you find yourself in that you can't pray about and you can't ask God. And there are times that God will move mightily to change the circumstances of those things. There are other times He will change you, but never forget when you're in the presence of Jesus, anything can happen. So she said to Him, I know He's going to rise again at the last day, and look what He said to them. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus began by saying, I am. Now, he didn't just choose his words willy-nilly. I am. He was making a claim to deity. You see, when God revealed himself to Moses in the desert, Moses said to God, who do I say is going to send me to Pharaoh to let the people go? And God said, tell him I am has sent you. And you read the Gospel of John and you read through the other Gospels, Jesus makes claim to deity. She said, I know that God will give you what you ask. And Jesus was kind of saying, God's present right before you right now. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And notice he didn't say, I cause resurrection and life to happen. He didn't say, I make resurrection happen. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whenever Jesus is present, there is resurrection and there is life. When Jesus is present, though Lazarus was dead, he can still live. And everyone who believes in him will never die. You see, death for the Christian is really not death. It's just transition from this life to eternity and being with God. You see, Jesus is present and resurrection and life are found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so in the face of physical death, we can be reminded that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And Martha, he said to her, Martha, do you believe this? And even though she didn't understand the full implications, her confession says, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God who is coming into the world. She didn't even know what that meant, but she knew that she believed in the one who was standing right in front of her. You see, you don't have to have a perfect faith. Martha's faith wasn't perfect, but you don't have to have a perfect faith for God to act. You know, when Jesus talked about the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, he was telling us, sometimes our faith's pretty small. Sometimes we don't have the faith to believe what we need to believe to follow him. We're just barely holding on. But he can work through that kind of faith. Because see, it's not how much faith you have, it's who's your faith in. Well, look what happens next. They took Jesus to the tomb, and Jesus told them, take away the stone. Now, Martha did not know what was happening here. And she said, Lord, he's been there 4 days. Now, this is warm, moist, Palestinian climate. He wasn't embalmed. He'd been there 4 days. And she says, you know, our translation says he has an odor. But basically, she's saying, Lord, he stinks really bad. You put something, have you ever been around something that's been dead 4 days? I once had a dead cat under a mobile home I lived in. It was not pretty. And I had to get in there and get that thing out. But anyway, he stinks. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you if you believe you'd see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. And Jesus prayed aloud, not because he needed to, but because he wanted people to know that he was in touch and in tune with Almighty God. And then he cried out, Lazarus, come out. And notice how the scripture puts this. I love it. In verse 44, he said, the man who had died came out. The guy that's supposed to be dead, he's dead. The verb tense is such that it means he should still be dead. But the man who had died came out. And, you know, in Jewish, they would take a long sheet and they would kind of put the body between the long sheet and then wrap stuff around it. And then they'd wrap the head separately. Well, Lazarus, he came out and he's hobbling out of there in these grave cloths. Lazarus was not technically resurrected because he didn't have a body like he's going to have when he gets to heaven. But his earthly body was restored, and he came back to life. The man who had died, who was once dead, came out still bound in his grave cloth. One day he'd enter the tomb again, but not today. Not today. And Jesus said, take those cloths off. Let him go. There's one more thing I want to point out from this passage of Scripture this morning. The reaction. Look at the reaction. Now, you'd think everybody there, man, I'm going to believe. Well, verse 45 tells us many of them did believe. They believed in what and when they had seen Jesus did. But it also tells us that some reported to the chief priests and Pharisees. Now, if someone had come to you with a reputable report that someone had risen, had raised someone else from the grave, you know, you'd think you'd believe, but did they? No, they didn't believe. No matter what Jesus did to show he was the Messiah and the Savior, there are some who are not going to believe. These men only thought of their power and their place. And they said, man, Jesus is getting so popular. If people keep believing in him, then we're going to have a political revolution. People are going to rebel against Rome. They're going to come and take away our place in our nation. Notice they said, first of all, their concern was their place. You see, some people believe if I'm not in charge, everything's going to go to pot. They're going to come and take away our place. There are some probably running for president today that think if they're not elected, the nation's going to go to pot. Well, that's all in God's hands, not in any human being's hands, I'll tell you that. You see, just because I or the people that I want are not in power doesn't mean that God is not in control. They only thought of their power. They may have claimed they were thinking of the nation, but really they were only thinking of themselves. And so they could not envision a nation where they did not rule. They would not believe. So the disjointed plans of Jesus' enemy now brought his enemies together. You see, these guys didn't like each other. The Pharisees and the high priest, Pharisees believed different things, and the Sadducees didn't even believe in any kind of resurrection or any kind of spiritual life. They were natural enemies, but now they have a common enemy, so they joined together. They joined together. And they planned and they plotted to kill Jesus. Now notice, God's plan was not thwarted. In fact, in his plan, they were unwitting pawns. He worked even through their plans. The high priest Caiaphas spoke. He said, it's better for one man to die for the people, in behalf of the people, in the place of the people, than for the whole nation to perish. The New American Commentary points out, this is filled with sacrificial meaning. The term for instead of, behalf of, hyper in the original language is frequently associated with a substitutionary or replacement view of atonement. In the Old Testament, the devotees and the priests would place their hands on the sacrificial animal or scapegoat in identification, and thus the animals would carry the weight of sin and the guilt on behalf of worshipers. Accordingly, the worshipers would not bear the punishment of God. The word of the high priest here provided insight where the nation would be spared from perishing. Why? Because one would die for the nation. But it wasn't just for the Jewish nation. It was for the scattered people of God all through the world. It's for you and me too. And whoever will believe. You see, they may have thought they were thwarting God's plan. These evil men may have thought that the evil act they're doing was even a good thing, but even though it wasn't, God was still going to work through it, and God organized and everything came to fulfill his plan that Jesus would die for our sins. You see, the reaction of Jesus' enemies put him on the road to the cross. You know, he willingly did that. He knew it was coming. Through the cross, our sins can be forgiven. Through his resurrection, we can be raised from the dead, not to die again like Lazarus, but to live forevermore. You see, you think you're going to stop the plans of God? You think you can thwart the will of Almighty God. He's going to bring His plans and purposes about. Jesus was going to die for us and be this great sacrifice for our sins. That whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, death comes to all in this present age. But I want to tell you, one day it's never going to come again. One day it's never going to come again. I'm never going to receive a phone call from a friend. Like I received the other day. I'm not going to receive a phone call from a sister in the middle of the night saying, "Daddy just died." It's not going to happen. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And it will be put under His feet in the end. It will be the last great enemy to be put under His feet. Have you believed in Him today? Do you have Martha's faith that you believed and trusted in Jesus as the hope for you, that death is not the end, but there's life after this life? Have you believed in Him today? Have you received Him as Savior and Lord? Have you taken the step of following Him and receiving Him into your life? Is there another thing that He would have you do today? You see, He's the conqueror of death, and He's the one whom we follow today. My prayer is that everyone here would be His follower. Father, we love You, and we thank You, Lord, that You displayed Your power over death in raising Lazarus from the grave. And Father, we know one day You will raise us from the grave. Lord, our bodies are part of Your redeeming plan. Even though those who are not in their bodies are present with You now somehow, I don't understand it all. But Lord, one day You're gonna restore this mortal body and make it immortal and raise it from the grave. Jesus, I praise You that there's nothing that You can't do. There's no enemy that is greater than You. Death is not greater than You, but death has been defeated by You. We worship and we praise You. And we pray that our lives might show that we are followers of the One who is the resurrection and the life. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.